This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. I got to admit to you, I might be screwing off a little bit this hour. Let me explain why. I'm almost fried out a little bit today on politics. Then we got all the Iran crap going on. And I know we're going to have to tackle all this crap tomorrow. It might be kind of an email screw-off hour, but I do have to talk about some foreigner things in just a moment, and it's going to be so friggin' heavy that I'm going to want to leave. So I don't mean leave the show. I just mean leave politics. We're going to go talk about emails. Anyway, war is obviously an awful thing. It's an awful thing. We want to watch movies about it. Some of us have experienced it, but that kind of death and violence is terrible in so many different ways. It's just absolutely terrible. But I want to read you a headline. Just take this in. Ukraine looks to import African migrants to fill the labor shortage after hundreds of thousands dead or wounded at the front. Think about this. Young men, the young men of a nation, they are in every way, they are the future of the country. Oh, but that's insulting to women. Oh, pipe down. Young men are the future of the country because the young men in your society today, they will move into various parts of society, business, government, whatever, church, anything. They will move into those parts, and as they become older and more mature and grow up, they will lead the society. The young men of your country now will be the leaders of the country. I'm not the future of the country. I'm 44 years old. The young men of this country are the future. They will be the ones who lead. The 15-year-old listening to the sound of my voice right now, he's going to lead this country. He's going in various ways. Maybe his community, whatever. He's going to be a leader. Ukraine, they not only have had hundreds of thousands of their young men butchered in this awful war, they are now going to import that many Africans into Ukraine to fill the labor shortage. You can, with a war, if you're evil enough, you can completely replace the population of your country. And think for a moment what this entire scenario must be like for the young ladies of Ukraine. You're an 18-year-old, 20-year-old girl. You want to find yourself the Ukrainian man of your dreams. Maybe you already did. And then he went. He went, served his country, and he died. In fact, all the young men you know have gone, died, came home, either in boxes or wounded. But wait, we have great news. We have 1,000 dudes from the Congo coming into your town next week to live right next door. That's just terrible, man. That's just terrible. The mass importation of foreigners into every Western country is just something. Look, you would never have these people in Congress if it wasn't for
that. The majority of Americans across the country, regardless of political party, know that immigrants from all over the world, Somalia, India, wherever they're from, Latin America, Africa, that immigrants have built this country and make this country what it is today.
you would never get away with saying those words in the America we used to have. But once you open up your borders for long enough and import enough of them, that's the kind of thing that wins you elections. Priyama, that's a stupid name. Pramila Jayapal, a dirty communist from Washington who walks into the House of Representatives to re-election every single time because she knows the legions of foreign barbarians she brought in will continue to put her there. And that's who she represents. Here's the lieutenant governor of Michigan standing next to a Somali woman. She's wearing a hijab, by the way.
I am incredibly clear that the Somali community is part of the fabric of the state of Minnesota. The Somali community has always been a part of my Minnesota. So I want to just encourage the community to know that we're with you. We've got your back. Support our Somali businesses, support our immigrant neighbors, and I know that things are scary right now. And just know that there are more people who are looking out for you. There are more people who are here to support you than you know. I will continue to stand with the Somali community to be with you and to do all I can to return the friendship and community that the Somali community has shown me. Thank you so much.
Return the friendship. What a way to put it. You almost have to admire that, Chris. What is it you people would call that again? Chutzpah? Did I do that right that time? I did it right. What? What? I didn't do enough on the H this time? Chutzpah. It's in the back of the throat. I know. It's in the back of the throat. All right? Friendship. I'm going to try to return the friendship. But we know what that means. I'm going to be a friend to you as a politician. And I'm going to bring you in from that dump you used to call home. Oh, no. You can bring in all your family. I don't care. No, of course. Yeah, build the mosque. Sounds good. That's good. In fact, I want you to do what you've always done. I want you to steal. I want you to steal everything you can possibly get your hands on. In fact, I will help you steal. But there's just one little thing I need in return. When it comes to election time, I'm going to show up at that dump apartment complex you have that smells, and I'm going to have a stack of ballots in my hand, and I need you and your 19 relatives to come out and vote for me next election. Sound good? It's a very simple story. That's why these people are in there. And that's those ones. You hear this from Sarah Blackwell on Fox News? When American people can't find a job. I read you the stat earlier. 72% of the country says the jobs market's terrible. Listen to this.
Certainly the American workers go first. And, you know, the Meta and Amazon, they actually apply for their own. So you can see when they're firing Americans that they are hiring these foreign workers. But there's a third-party business model where a lot of the companies, you don't even know that they're hiring the H-1Bs because they use a third-party company to do it. So they call in all the American workers, they fire them, then they force them to train the replacement. They get videoed while they're doing it and recorded so that the foreign workers can see it once the American's gone. And then the foreigner, the company owns that visa. So the H-1B worker is basically stuck. And so if they are mistreated, they're not going to complain because then, you know, they'll take their visa away. So they're stuck.
The mass importation of foreign slave labor brought about the end of the Roman Republic. And if we do not control it here in the United States of America, if we don't get our hands on it, it will end the American Republic. That's enough of that. Let's focus on something beautiful. The mountains. This is Natisha Heidemann. She's a WNBA player from Seattle, but I'm sure you knew that already.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I was just sitting on my balcony, and I sat on my balcony like mad times. I had never seen it, so I didn't know like what was going on. So I'm looking, and I'm like, is that a mountain? Like, I didn't know what this was. So I'd never seen it before. So I'm, like, looking around, like, kind of confused. That was my first time seeing it. And then I guess it's, like, mountain out or something.
It's mountain out. If you're, what? What do you mean, what, Chris? You never heard of mountain out? Well, what she's describing there is Mount Rainier. Now, I've been to Seattle a couple times. Personally, I felt like it was pretty prominent. I felt like it, that's the best way I can put it. What, Chris, listen, I felt like it stood out when I was there. I really felt like it was an obvious landmark, but different people see different things. All right, Natisha, it caught her by surprise.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I was just sitting on my balcony, and I sat on my balcony like mad times. I had never seen it, so I didn't know like what was going on. So I'm looking, and I'm like, is that a mountain? Like, I didn't know what this was. I'd never seen it before. So I'm like looking around, like kind of confused. That was my first time seeing it. And then I guess it's like mountain out or something.
It was mountain out, Chris. That's what it was doing. Hey, Jesse, I was so proud of you when Elon retweeted you. It's Elon Musk. What do you think your dad would say about that? I feel like my dad would be showing everyone in his circle, smiling ear to ear. My dad would never have said a word to me about it. If I even brought it up, he would have probably called me an idiot or said something to the effect of, I don't know why, that's a big deal. But then, behind my back, he would have gone to all of his friends and bragged about it. That's kind of how my dad operated. Also, let's talk about you and pain. You don't need to accept pain. You don't. You do not have to sit there and accept being in pain. Being in pain is something that is a choice now that relief factor is there. Chronic pain, the nagging pain, the thing that keeps you from doing the things you want is temporary now that we have a solution. We have a supplement, 100% drug-free supplement called Relief Factor. What happens? Well, you start taking it. You take it every day, by the way. It builds up in your system. As it builds up in your system, the pain in your life gets turned down more and more and more and more. I want you to go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and get a 3-week quick start of it. You're about to feel better. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. You can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But remember, I'm going to get mine.
I think it's okay for us to be a bit transactional, too. And to say, I'm going to get mine also.
You go, girl. You go. Oh, speaking of cringe, Cory Booker. Cory Booker, the New Jersey senator. Every 4 years, Cory Booker decides to run for president. Now, pause. Because I saw a headline recently. I want to make sure I pull it up so I can read it right. Kelly, that would not be me. We're talking about Arizona Senator Mark Kelly, says he's undecided on a 2028 presidential bid. Let's cover this again because I want to make sure we are all crystal clear on this. Kelly is not undecided. He's running. Cory Booker is not undecided. He's running, which makes normal people stand up and say, why? They can't win. Why would Mark Kelly run? He's not going to win. Why would Cory Booker run? He's not going to win. Okay. Now let me ask you, maybe you're saying that. Why wouldn't they? What's the negative? Mark Kelly, Cory Booker, when they each run failed presidential campaigns, which they will do what? What is it? What is involved? What does that involve? They're going to be flying around the country, first class or private jets, depending on how much money the campaign is raising. Flying around the country, first class, 4- and 5-star hotels. Steak dinners, when they go to fundraisers, when Cory Booker travels to Arkansas for a fundraiser, he's going to be at some gorgeous mansion drinking the finest wines. Then, that's just the behind-the-scenes stuff that you and I don't see. Think about how many new followers he's going to get on Instagram, on social media, basically. Think how many people are going to start following these people because they decided to run for president. Oh, and then there's the presidential debates. Oh, but Cory Booker will look bad or Mark Kelly won't do as well. It doesn't matter. he's on the stage. You know what? You know what a great example is? We make fun of the woman.
I think it's okay for us to be a bit transactional too. And to say, I'm going to get mine also.
That woman was Vice President of the United States of America. How did she get in that position? Well, she's a black woman and Joe Biden was going to diversity hire. Yeah. But does Joe Biden pick up that phone and call Dome and say, be my vice president if Kamala doesn't run for president? Now, why would he offer her that? If you remember right, she was hilariously bad at running for president. Everyone hated her guts. She was getting destroyed in the primary. The media wanted her badly. She's a black woman, but no one else did. And yet Joe Biden picked up the phone and said, hey, Dome, you want to join me? She ran for president. So that was a long way of saying Republicans, this applies to them too. There is no longer a negative in running for president. Even if you get crushed, even if you don't have a chance, when the election is over, maybe you get a sweetheart seat, by the way. Chris just brought up Mayor Pete, the Rear Admiral. Well, the Rear Admiral was done in politics. He was done. He had run up against a brick wall. There was nowhere else to go. But then he goes out there and runs for president. What do you know? He ends up getting offered a sweetheart deal to ride a bicycle without a bike seat on it around D.C. as the transportation secretary. Pete worked out pretty well for him, but he failed, did he? He was, I'm sure he was clearing a pretty decent check as transportation secretary for 4 years. And now, because he was all over the news, it set him up, right? It sounds like that, quote, failed presidential campaign worked out just fine, didn't it? So Cory Booker got up to speak at some big Democrat thing. And just know, it's cringeworthy, it is, but he's just running for president.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a storm in our nation. There is darkness and wind. People are getting hurt. What we need is not from on high. We need foot soldiers of our democracy who in times of trial are willing to stand up. Will you stand for our democracy? Will you stand to get out the vote? Will you stand for our children? Will you stand up for our elders? And will you stand together, unified, strong, be the hope that people need? We are Democrats. It's time for a new deal. It's time to redeem the dream of America.
It's time to redeem the dream of America. Chris, write this down. Bet you money he's going to go with that on the campaign trail. In fact, I bet you money that's going to be on signs. That's going to be on shirts. Bet you money they pull tested it and did all kinds of things. I mean, we can all see Cory Booker doing lots of pull testing, right? I bet you they pull. What, Chris? What? Poll test. Anyway, I bet you money that's going to be on T-shirts. Chris, I want that written down so when that turns out to be right, redeem the dream of America. Gosh, these goobers. Anyway, don't worry about all the crappy things he said there. He's running for president. He's going to fail again. After all, we all knew he was running for president when he went and found a wife recently. Have you given a preborn yet? Have you saved a baby's life? When's the last time you did something for someone else? We're all selfish people. I know I most definitely am. We think about ourselves all the time. I'm always on my mind. How often do we think about other people? How often do we have a heart for that unborn baby who's about to be killed by its mother? Preborn thinks about that baby all the time and the mother. And they offer her a free ultrasound. The ultrasound is our nuclear weapon against abortion. We can't change the hearts. without introducing that mother to her baby and changing the hearts is what matters most. Preborn gives her a free ultrasound. She chooses life almost every time, and you have the power to do that right now for $28. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Jewish producer Chris just handed me this article. Armed robbers steal more than $1 million from a Brinks armored truck. And Chris came in, when he handed it to me, he said, I think we can do it. I think we can do it too, Chris. Granted, I've never stolen anything before. I'm assuming you have, but anyway, I've never stolen anything before. And I don't want to sound like a wuss, but no, listen, Chris, listen. I don't want to hurt anybody. And so I don't know how we get the Brinks truck stopped and get the workers out of it without actually hurting anybody. I don't want to hurt some working stiff. What, Chris? What? Pretend that we're police. That's a good idea. How do we get police uniforms? You're going to handle that? Okay, you're the equipment guy. That's right. I'm the wheelman, remember. I'm the wheelman. I get to handle the getaway driving. Are we involving Corey or? Well, look, here's what we do. We bring Corey along, and then we leave him behind at the scene if things are going bad to slow the police down. What? What? He's a loose end? All right, then, hey, maybe we close up that loose end on our way out. All right? We get what? We get what we can out of him? And then? I've seen the mafia movies. We can't risk everything. All right? But look, I'll tell you one thing about a heist. I know this.
I think it's okay for us to be a bit transactional, too. And to say, I'm going to get mine also.
That's what we're going to say when we're robbing that Brinks truck, Chris. I'm going to get mine. Hey, Jesse, will Western leaders replace their citizens before citizens replace their leaders? Who will win this? I don't know. I know that they were screwing us badly with the mass importation of foreigners for years before we really started to awaken from our slumber. The topic of immigration, it was starting to really, really heat up about the time that I decided to run for office, 2008 or so. It was starting to heat up. But even then, we were kind of in the baby phase of getting fired up about this. Maybe not you specifically. Maybe you're one of these people who always knew what was happening. But the people, I'm talking about us. We were in the baby phase then of, wait a minute, this isn't right. Hold on, open border. Wait a minute, that's not right. But remember, our politicians, certainly our politicians in Washington, there's a signal lag between when you start screaming about something and they start listening and acting on it. There's a signal lag. There just is, because they have to hear your anger. They have to hear it at the ballot box. They have to, they don't hear it immediately when you start to get angry about it. So we started to get angry about it. But remember, even if it was 2000, we'll call it the year 2000, and that was the year you started to get angry about immigration, it had been going on en masse for decades before that too. So as we sit here in 2026, we're kind of behind because we're getting such a late start. We woke up one day and we looked around and these people were in Congress.
They said you reported a net worth between $6 million and $30 million. And they said your 2023 disclosure was roughly $40,000, between $40,000 and a quarter million.
Yeah, but they're not net worths. They're like the asset things for the companies. And so I don't know what percentage of...
We woke up one day and there's a Somali Muslim in Congress wearing a hijab, and she's been very clearly stealing. And wait, what? We're behind. Because we're getting a late start, it's easy to convince yourself that we cannot catch up. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we can catch up, that we can elect the right people and we can get enough deportations to overcome what we've done. I'm not saying that. But I also can't sit here and tell you that we've lost when we really just started running. Remember this about Trump. Trump has stopped. He has stopped the importation of foreigners into this country. Trump did deport. This includes self-deportations, over 2 million people last year. We have never, not one time in our lives, had a GOP president willing to do that. Not one time. Now, you can say, well, he's backing off. It's not enough. All that's true. It's still better than we've ever had. And we get better from here. We get better from here because you will demand it. And I will demand it. The GOP politicians in Washington, they're just starting to understand how radicalized we are on this subject. They are starting to get it. And you know what's going to be fascinating? In 2028, when all the Republicans start running for office, when they start running for president, and they're all going to get involved in the primary, and I know JD's the favorite and whatnot, you know what will be fascinating? Watching the first one who completely ends his presidential chances by coming out soft on immigration because he still thinks it's the year 2000. Well, look, guys. I just think that we are a nation of immigrants and the boos are going to rain down. Boo, get off the stage, you dork. And that's going to be it. And then there will be a Republican who recognizes what time it is. You want to know how to talk about it? Brandon Gill's a great example.
American immigration policy used to be predicated on the idea that you cannot be what's called a public burden. In other words, you can't do exactly what we're seeing here, which is come in from any part of the globe and immediately hop on welfare and expect the American people to pay for your food and your education and your housing and your health care and everything else.
Yes.
The second issue is one of cultural compatibility. If you come into the United States, you are expected to become American. You're not expected to be a hyphenated American perpetually. You are expected to adopt American culture. And adhere to the cultural norms in our civilization, which, by the way, is the whole reason why people immigrate into the United States, because our culture, I believe, in many ways is superior to other cultures across the globe. We've got to recognize that not all cultures are equal. And we ought to recognize that bringing in third world countries where some lunatic is grilling a cat in an American park where children are playing around with is a culture that is incompatible with our own.
All cultures are not equal. Our culture is superior. Name me the GOP politician who would have dared to speak that way 10 years ago. Name him. You can't, because he doesn't exist. Now we're getting it more and more and more. I know we are way behind. 50 million, 100 million, pick your number. I know we're way behind when it comes to the mass importation / mass deportation of foreigners. We're way behind, though, because we haven't been racing. We've been worried about, can you lower my taxes? We've been worried about that. Well, the communists have been importing the cat eaters. Now we're on it, though. We are on it, and we are pressing. I don't know whether we can catch up. I can hardly call it a loss when we just started running, though. All right. One more segment. Do a couple emails. Play something from Joy Ann Reed that's revealing. Next.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. And I just want to come back. I want to come back to something we played earlier because I think there's another lesson in this that we didn't talk about. And of course, it's Cory Booker getting up and all the fire and brimstone Democrat talk. But I think Cory taught us a valuable lesson. You know, he was just recently married.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a storm in our nation. There is darkness and wind. People are getting hurt. What we need is not from on high. We need foot soldiers of our democracy who in times of trial are willing to stand up. Will you stand for our democracy? Will you stand to get out the vote? Will you stand for our children? Will you stand up for our elders? And will you stand together, unified, strong, be the hope that people need? We are Democrats. It's time for a new deal. It's time to redeem the dream of America.
If you want to run for president, you need to grow a beard. That's what, Chris? Just anyway, Joy Reid said something that you've heard Democrats say often. And we laugh. You'll even hear her. She gets laughed at by Maury when she says it. But I don't know that he should laugh because you should understand when they say these things, they mean these things.
Democrats. Do not play politics the way Republicans do. The difference between the parties, they do not. They do not.
Please.
Democrats capitulate and they try to play by the rules. Republicans don't care about the rules. They rewrite the rules.
What's she talking about? She's lying. Communists never think they've gone far enough. They know the old analogy I've used. Don't ever forget, it's how the communist thinks. It's hard for a normal person to relate to it. If you fight a communist for 100 islands out in the ocean, and at the end of that war, you have 99 islands, and he's down to one little teeny tiny island, you would celebrate for a year over your rousing military victory. Look at what we did. Look at how dominant we were. If at the end of that war, the communist had 99 islands and you had that one little teeny tiny one, he would be weeping and gnashing his teeth that night because he didn't have it all. When they say Democrats are too weak, too nice, didn't go far enough, it comes back to a lesson that we've talked about over and over and over again, as is evidenced by every country where they take power. Hey, we need to kill more people. I got a problem here? We should kill more people. Problem there? Make sure we censor it. Don't allow them to say that. Problem there? Arrest more people. Problem there? Kill more people. Problem here? Arrest more people. That's the only lesson communists ever learn. Ever. During the COVID debate was a great example of it. Anybody who questioned the science, they didn't have public debates with them. They just completely silenced them, fired them, had their social media accounts eliminated. No. You don't allow differing opinions. Jesse, I know George Soros has brought up a whole bunch of Spanish, or bought up, I think he's trying to say, a bunch of whole Spanish language radio stations last year. Do you broadcast the show in Spanish on any stations? Chris, maybe we should do that.
Buenas tardes.
Maybe I should habla a completely separate, a completely separate three-hour show just in Spanish. Chris, what do you think about that idea? No? You don't think I can? What? That's a very good point, Chris. I would do it. In fact, I was about to start, but my voice wouldn't hold. My voice was getting too hoarse. I just I can't go another 3 hours. All right. I would have, but you'll have to oblaw the English. Dr. Jesse, I think Dems didn't like Doge because they knew it was necessary even down to their own state levels. I want to play this again from Doug Burgum. Remember all that, quote, refugee resettlement done in the country as they bring in barbarian hordes into your neighborhood? It's not usually the federal government who's physically doing it. It's NGOs of all different kinds. I say all different kinds, but let's be honest. Most of them are simply communist NGOs. They'll pick flowery names. Maybe it'll be a Catholic NGO or a Jewish NGO or a climate NGO or whatever it may be. They try to pick names that'll disarm you, but they're just communist NGOs. So why would they do it? Well, they get money for it. Your money, federal money. And they're making a lot of money.
We found organizations that were receiving grants from Interior where 80 to 100% of the revenue of that NGO was a grant from the federal government. And yet those organizations, we were the sole source of their revenue, but they would have a CEO making $650,000 and four $400,000 lobbyists.
Yikes. All right.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Would not be shocked. GOP House Rep suggests foreign adversaries are behind the missing U.S. scientists. Apparently, at least 11 scientists linked to, quote, sensitive research have gone missing in recent years. I've kind of ignored this story because I don't like to just throw boogeyman tabloid fodder out there. But this is real, and I guess they're looking into it. Florida investigating ChatGPT role in mass shooting. All this AI ChatGPT stuff just weirds me out. I just want to go back to where none of this stuff existed at all. Hakeem Jeffries used the Bible to justify disenfranchising Virginia voters. You mean a communist used the word of God and put it on like a skin suit in order to further the communist revolution? No, you don't say. Trump urges Iran to release 8 women reportedly set to be hanged in a show of goodwill ahead of peace negotiations. Good for Trump for calling for it. You do have to say a prayer for these young ladies. Also, Iran, if your hopes are for a peace deal, and I don't know if that's what the hopes are. Maybe hanging pretty young ladies in mass is not the best way to win the world over. Just a heads up. Anyway, we'll come back tomorrow. We'll do it again. And that's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.